listening to Cleveland and Beyond with Andy Billman and Jared Watson, brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts.
And we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. He's Andy Billman. I'm Jared Watson, and this podcast is brought to you by Waiting for Next Year. Check him out. Original Cleveland sports reporting at waitingfornextyear.com. Also, coming soon, Evergreen Podcasts. For those of you who were not deterred by an 0-5 start from Baker and thought he was going to end with five touchdowns, including the game-winning touchdown with 11 seconds left, congrats. But for the rest of us, it was shock and amazement as the Browns came back to win 37-34. Terrible stuff here. Odell Beckham Jr. might be lost for the season. We're going to have to wait on an MRI. Myles Garrett, again, though, had another strip sack in his run for MVP, brother. And then the Buckeyes, Irish Wolverines, all win. An incredible ending to the World Series Game 4 as well. We'll talk about that. But first, it says, Coach Stefanski said, these are a bunch of dudes who believe. You're 5-2, Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
We've all gone through moments in our fandom as Browns fans, but this was definitely a moment where we 180'd in a game completely with one player.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield stood at the precipice of getting booed out of town, and it wasn't even in Cleveland. It was in Cincinnati. He was standing there going, we all looked around. We all basically said as Browns fans, I know I did to myself, going, holy shit, it can't end this way. It just can't end this way. And it's going to end this way. And he had one of the most remarkable turnarounds in a Browns uniform I can ever remember.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to see. He threw one incompletion, which was a not even incompletion. He was stopping the clock in the last drive of the game. So basically after the 0-5, Baker went perfect. The only time he did not was to stop the clock late in this game. Look, Baker Mayfield needed this game. For many reasons, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be bantered about why, whatever else. And there could be theories, but I was obviously happy to see it. It was incredible to watch. He was flinging the ball around and the Bengals stink, but Joe Burrow's very good. So that was one of the rare times too, as a Browns fan, we saw a true quarterback duel and we won the duel. Which
Holy
was
shit.
So great. So great. Just a great win. I mean, take
it. Andy, here's the deal. Coming off of last week, it was brutal. It was brutal the whole week. And yep. I thought in the back of my mind before this game started today, I thought to myself, oh boy, what if I'm wrong about my prediction on the show that we just did for the preview for this game? Oh boy, what if they don't? Like, it just hit me. Like, they could really lay an egg again. And then we started that game and Baker started 0-5. And they were having trouble getting anything going offensively. And by the end of the first quarter and in through the second quarter, I was like, you know what? It really might fall on its face. This might be Baker's unraveling. We know that we've seen this lack of progression. And then out of nowhere,
bang.
That offense came to life. And they had to adjust. Once Odell came out of that game, they had to adjust. Landry put himself through hell dealing with his broken rib. I was worried. I didn't know why they were running him at one point. I was like, why are you doing that to him? He only got three wide receivers, and only two of them are even healthy. So, look, they got away with that. At the same time, the tight ends played a huge role in that comeback.
Huge, Brian.
Huge role.
Huge.
And that's something that I wanted to see anyways out of this team throughout this season.
And no Hooper today. And I think this is also the rebirth of Hollywood in Cleveland.
Oh,
Hollywood Higgins is back.
You think Stefanski gets it now? Do you think he gets that relationship? Because my God, what it wasn't fool's gold 2 years ago when those two linked up the way they did.
He's back. A quote from Stefanski. He was a healthy scratch a couple of times earlier this season. That's how the numbers played out. But he just kept doing his job. You can't discount. And this is the big one. And you can't discount the connection he has with Baker Mayfield. There's another player in his team.
Oh, let's stop discounting it. I'm tired of him being a healthy scratch.
Yeah. I will say this right now. For everybody out there, Hollywood Higgins and Baker Mayfield need to be playing all the time together now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about Cadrell Hodge. I don't want to hear about other people coming in and out who are new. Higgins has got to be playing now from here on out. I mean, there's no question. The rebirth of Higgins is here. He was flying around. He and Baker have certainly a connection, and he played a key role. Bryant, the rookie wide receiver, played a key role in this game. And you teed it off, and I was going to hit it next. Now, Landry's numbers aren't the greatest and whatever else. There certainly seems to be now the effect of like, okay, Dearness Johnson, we can't give him the ball so much, so Hunt had to do all the carries. Hunt is now on every down back. He's not Nick Chubb. So they had to put Landry in situations just to get a differentiating running play.
And it worked. It worked. It didn't work the first time. I think the first time they tried to run that play, they ran it again, and it was beautiful. I mean, Landry threw another perfect pass. He threw another dime. It was insane.
I've said this for a while. Landry's the heart and soul of this team, and you saw it on those carries. Playing with rib problems, taking handoffs, as my partner said, shows a lot about the guts of his team. But look, it's all about.
Was that guts though, or was that not smart? I feel like that wasn't so smart, but whatever.
It's one of those situations,
right?
Knowing Stefanski, Dearness Johnson had a great game against Dallas. If we all know in our heart of hearts, do we think Dearness Johnson should be getting the ball in big spots? Probably not. So Landry needed to do what he had to do just to give Hunt a chance to catch his breath. And Jared, that's what this team got tonight. And Jared, I want to go back to Baker. That was 2018 Baker from the 0-5 after that stopped all the way to the end. And the great thing about that game was you could feel it going in to halftime. Kind of wonder if it's going to carry it out. But as soon as you saw that first drive, and that was a beautiful the drive to get it up to 10-10 was choppy at points. He did enough. It was a weird pass to Bryant, but he got in the end zone. That first drive in the second half, I remember I said like
it was a great answer. Ruben. It was a Ruben. Great answer. I want to jump into my view of Peoples-Jones too. I'd much rather see him on the field as a wide receiver than see him running back kicks. I'm just at that point. I really wish that there were other options. I like seeing him out there as a wide receiver. He proved himself today. He had some big shoes to fill. And hauling in that final touchdown to win the game, hauling that in, dragging those feet. I mean, the awareness was there.
Peoples-Jones is a wonderful wide receiver. Really, really good. He was good in college.
That's my point.
We said this on this podcast before, so we're going to say it again. Peoples-Jones makes you nervous catching balls. We said that 2 or 3 weeks ago.
On special teams, returning. That's what we're talking about.
Catching balls on special teams. I'm sorry. When he's receiving punts, receiving kickoffs, it makes you nervous. The Browns right now don't have a kick returner. They don't. They don't have anything. They're going to have to do something about that. But this Peoples-Jones, I loved him in Michigan. He was a wonderful player for Michigan. And he did not have the benefit of a passer. You are seeing that now. He is big. He is tall. And boy, does he keep his feet in bounds in the biggest spots of the game. And that was an absolute dime by 6. I want to get back to Baker for a second. This could be, and maybe this is, the performance that accelerates him in this town and for this team. He needed this. It was Brett Favre-like. And it was Brett Favre at the very end, meaning he threw an interception first. It was bad. It was crappy. I was like, oh, fuck. He's going to end his career like this in Cincinnati. And then bang, bang, bang. And as the game went on, he got hotter and hotter and hotter.
Broke Bernie's reception, completed passes in a row record.
And by the way, he should have. One of them was only to stop the clock. His only incompletion.
It was down the ball.
We're just down the ball. So all that being said, I'm reading all these comments. One from Matt on Facebook. Joe Burrow completes that final pass for a TD. I was going to drown myself in the Mahoning River. Matt, I was with you. Matt, I kept – but you know what I said, though?
Oh, I'll tell you this, too. It looked like there might have been a touch of PI there, too. But I'll leave it alone. I'm just saying. I felt like there might have been – but they'll let that go.
So I have a 10-year-old son who was weeping upset. And I told him, I go, do you know what the funny thing is, Cameron? They left him too much time. There's a minute, like 8 left or minute 6 left. I remember when I saw that, I was like, that actually gives the Browns a chance to win the game. And they did. I don't know why you could feel in this game that the Browns were going to go down the field and score. I said, at least they'll get a field goal.
I didn't have any doubt in it.
I didn't have any doubt. The Bengals defense.
The Browns fan in me, I have the little brownie elf in the back of my mind going, don't throw another interception, baby.
I know.
Like, it's there. It's there. But it wasn't overwhelming. I was a little bit nervous. But you see them start driving down the field. You see the nice pass, and they get up there. They down the ball. And then I thought to myself, okay, what do we got? We got, what was it? Was it 11 seconds left, 14 seconds left, whatever?
11.
And I thought to myself, well, they can take one shot. They can take one shot. I have a feeling they're going to. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that pass and that catch. Baker looked as good as he has looked in years today. And keep this in mind, folks, he is still not feeling all that well. Cracked rib. All of a sudden we find out he's got a cracked rib.
We kind of knew that, but right now it's confirmed. Now it's confirmed.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt about it. Now here's the thing. And you tapped upon it. This kid is fucking tough. I give this win is not just a win. And oh my gosh, he played well against a bad defense. This was a get off the mat, ring the bell against. We couldn't stop Joe Burrow unless Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward are going to do something fabulous in this game. Those two players could have stood on their head. Everybody else in the defense. Mac Wilson, I finally saw
him. Mac Wilson made an appearance in pass coverage too. I believe
made an appearance.
It was in pass.
Wilson finally. He's not all the way back, but he looked better.
Right.
Again, this was a get off. No one should ever shit this game forever. No matter what the history and books say about Baker Mayfield, this was a get off the mat. I'm going to answer the bell against a really good quarterback in a big spot, interdivisional on the road. Right. This was a huge, huge, huge win. And the guts that he showed and those passes, again, the great thing about Mayfield today that made you feel good, he got better as the game went on.
It's been the opposite of that this entire season.
Right. And there were throws in that game where they were lasered in there. And this was another game. By the way, the Nick Chubb countdown, we're almost got him back. The running game was not where it could be today. It just didn't have what we didn't. It didn't have it. And now you get this game. Vegas loses today. Mm-hmm. So you get some breathing room and you're starting to feel more comfortable about the playoffs. Now, because I see this on Facebook, I'm going to go do a rabbit hole quickly in special teams. We have some special teams issues still. I don't know what the fuck to say about it.
Yeah.
I know we get all these genius coaches in there. I don't know what to do. Parkey makes me nervous.
I'm not worried about Parkey. That one, I'm telling you, that's a fluke to me right now. But yeah, Dan Monis on Facebook. Let's talk about Parkey missing that PAT after the go-ahead touchdown. Any concern moving forward there?
I'll raise my hand.
It's the same concern we always have. It's you're a Browns fan, and this is what life is like.
He's heading down the road of Zane Gonzalez.
No, he's not. Now you sound like a typical Browns fan. It's not that bad yet. He has been drilling everything down the middle. He's hit the 40-plus yarders. He's going to be okay. Now, here's the deal. Of course he missed that one. Why? Because Lord knows we needed the added drama of it only being a 3-point difference and having the ability for Burrow to launch one. Or, you know, you thought, is there any way? That's all I kept thinking is there any way that there's time for them? When I saw four, like, any way for them to get
in
field goal range? And then I started running in my head, oh boy, all they need to do is get a PI and then they'll get an extra play. Like that had me, then I was nervous. But look, at the end of the day, it all worked out. EJ Scalota on Facebook, laces out. Yeah, no shit, right?
Parkey makes me nervous now.
All right. I refuse. I'm not going to get nervous about him.
That's fine. Peoples Jones definitely makes me nervous when he's receiving our kicks. Yeah. And our kick return game and our punt return game is terrible. It's average at best. The Browns special teams is below mediocre. It's in the bottom third. I've seen all these football teams now for a while. I've watched a lot of NFL this year. The Browns special teams are in the bottom third of the league. And I don't know if it's going to hurt them in a big spot yet or not. But does Parker make me nervous now? Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Can we talk about the glaring eyesore that, in my mind, causes the Browns to give up maybe 14 to 21 points a game. I mean, I really do. I know it's not fair to hang that many points on a guy and claim it's his fault, but it feels like it. Doesn't it feel like it?
Andrew Sandejo.
Sandejo. No.
There's nothing. There's no analyst. There's nothing to say.
And I feel bad. I hate saying that about a guy.
No, he's very bad.
He's worked his ass off to get into the league. So I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
Look, he's going to get paid.
It hurts.
He did the full accomplishment of bad secondary play. One play, he was so out of position that the ball went way above his head. And another play, the guy, I forget who it was, this Bengals. I mean, he was basically behind the receiver, and the guy caught the ball.
Oh, well, that's what they did. They isolated on purpose on that short touchdown pass.
I mean, sometimes he's too aggressive. Sometimes he's too passive. Sandejo, he's in that world. I don't know what else to say. There's nothing to say. I don't know if there's anybody on the street who can play better. But at this point, Sandejo is rotten bad. I mean, it's eye glaringly bad. And I'll throw another guy's name in there. And I saw it today again. Olivier Vernon gave nothing. Nothing. Had nothing in this game.
Yeah.
No interest in rushing the quarterback. Didn't give a shit about making plays. Almost lost a fumble, thank God. I think it was Harrison or was it Mitchell? I think one of those guys got that strip sack fumble. But anyways, not to bemoan the negative. Let me talk about Myles Garrett again.
Yeah, let's do that.
I want to say this loud and clear. He is playing like Lawrence Taylor did in the 80s and early 90s. He is affecting the game. I have never seen this since LT.
Single-handedly.
He takes over games and just puts it on his shoulders. Yeah. I'm going to repeat that. Myles Garrett right now is in the running for me for MVP. Not just defensive MVP. And I know he's not a quarterback, and I know he's not an offensive player, but if the Browns lose Garrett, we are fucked. There is no season.
Why did you put that out there into the universe?
He is that juju out of here. He is that good. He is unbelievable.
So does he have 9 or 10 sacks now? I can't remember. He had 2 today, so I think that puts him – does that put him at 10?
I believe so.
He leads the league.
I mean, he was all over the place. And he had a play. Folks, the Bengals had 22 more plays than the Browns did. So he was playing a lot of plays in this game and a lot of passing plays in this game.
Yeah.
And Burrow, as quickly as
he got rid of the ball, that Burrow, that's the only thing that's his saving grace. He knows better than to hold on to that ball.
9. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, who is that? Yeah, I'm not.
Thank you.
I can't read that. I'm not going to put that one up. But he has 9. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's one hell of a screen name.
So cool. Myles Garrett is playing on a level right now where they are going to do some sort of book and some sort of like little thing on NFL films. I mean, he is really, really that good. Matt also on Facebook. Potential of Garrett. I think the single season sack record, is it still Derek Thomas or was it surpassed by someone? I can't remember, but I know Derek Thomas.
No, it was, maybe it was.
Maybe it's Watt. Is Watt?
Listen, the only thing that I know is that my dad complains about Brett Favre falling and giving up.
Well, I know. Here's the only thing I'm going to say about this to Matt's question. I know we're homers. I know what we're seeing here. I'm just going to tell you right now. Myles Garrett is playing on that kind of level. Mm-hmm. In this game today, he again, it's like on cue. Like, I have never been a Browns fan. I'm like, he's going to strip sack him. I can see it's like he's going to strip sack him, and he did. And I was like, oh, my God, you can foresee it now. It is unbelievable. It's like he's got him, and there's a fumble. I mean, it's great.
And he comes with that paw over the top.
Oh,
over
it's top. Wow,
you know it's coming. Bah!
Like a lion going after a gazelle. It's like, dude, you're done. it's in your mouth. But again, I want to pound this in the ground. Myles Garrett is playing on that kind of level, and I love watching him play. Now, Emmett Golden teed it up on Twitter a little bit, but you and I have done this for 2 years. This Denzel Ward misplacing of anger is bullshit. If you don't believe it, Denzel Ward after today, I mean, go take a ticket and cheer for a different team. I mean, he is so good. He tipped that pass for interception. He stripped A.J. Green, which could have been a turning point in this game.
Yeah, he does
it every game. He is by far, it's not close, the best cornerback on his team. It's not even comparable. Mitchell's not even in his league.
No. Mitchell struggled a little bit today, though, too.
He's average to good. But Denzel Ward's Pro Bowler. He's going to go to the Pro Bowl again this year.
Yeah.
He is going to go to the Pro Bowl. And then there's really everybody else on this team. I mean, again, I saw Mac Wilson. He did some things. I love Larry. I love Sheldon Richardson. I didn't see either of them today, really.
Well, Larry Ogunjobi's been hot and cold. Larry Ogunjobi is not, it's not been the same.
He had a bad offsides in this game. I know Richardson did too at one point. But my whole point being is like, you know, those are your two defensive guys. I'm really to the point. I heard Tony Grossi say this after the game. I'm kind of with Tony. I just am to the point now where it's like, I don't think this defense is horrific because, you know, they won this game today with some of their play, so it's okay. But if you think you're going to keep a team under 28 points, it's got a good offense, you're crazy.
Well, because the problem is you're only going to get – yeah, you know what? Dan Monis points this out on Facebook. Mitchell missed a wide-open interception,
yes,
which, by the way, could have been itself and helped – you know, that could have ended the game, basically.
Big drop.
That was a huge, huge drop.
Huge drop.
So the – I lost my train of point. What were we just talking about?
The defense in this whole thing.
Here's the deal. The defense, the best part about the Browns defense is that they have certain elite players that can change things quickly, right?
Yes.
Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett. There have been times where other guys have picked up and made a big play that has helped. We do not have a cohesive defense that can defend against the pass in any regular form, in any, you just have no confidence in their pass coverage, period. You just don't. Yeah. Overall, as a team, defensively, it's brutal. Thank God they have some superstars on that defense, though, to pick it up, namely Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward.
They have two guys who can really do a lot, and we're thankful to have both. And again, to be fair, there's no Delpit. Phillips is still not there.
Still a lot of not healthy dudes.
Yeah, and it really shows on defense. Offense, it's just plug and play, which is amazing. But on defense, it's really – you can feel it. But, again, I won't shit too much on this. We'll do this next
week. Yeah, no, somebody with a random name on Twitter, Harrison shows promise. Absolutely, if he can stay healthy. Got another scare today.
Harrison shows some promise for sure. I agree with that. That's a fair one. That's fair. Kevin Johnson, I don't think is terrible. I know he got picked on a couple of times. I don't think he's terrible.
Right.
Mitchell's not terrible. But you know what? Talkie Talkie, bad. Olivia Vernon, I just – there are so many games where it's like he just – you don't feel his presence at all.
No.
It's another game. It's like, couldn't tell you one thing Olivia Vernon did.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
I wonder what it is. And, hey, let me ask you this too. Let me ask you this. We're going to jump back to the other side of the ball because we're all over the place tonight because we're excited. Chief, Big Dave Njoku, hell of a day.
Oh, by the way, he's not getting traded now.
No, that's what you get. You might want to get traded, but you ain't going anywhere, brother.
Anywhere.
No. Now,
I want to mention two guys, and then the second one's a bigger name, but J.C. Treader, he got a lot of love, and he should really, really play tough in this game. I'm going to give Joe Batonio's quotes. I pulled it from after game. Give me a second. Where is it here? It's a great quote. Watch me. I probably could copy
it. Well, where'd you put it? Did you put it in the rundown?
I'm going to blow this moment. Oh, well.
Well, Batonio basically said he was talking about – was he talking about – well, go
gave
ahead.
Gave him inspiration because he played so tough. That was the basic surmise of it.
Didn't expect him to come back in the game, and he came back in the game.
And J.C. Treader just played gutty. And now to the bigger one, OBJ. Now, this is one that's going to get a little more sticky. I feel horrible. We all feel horrible. Do I believe that OBJ coming out really helped Baker Mayfield's confidence? No, I don't. Do I really believe like that him coming out of this game did something? No, because as we all remember in this game, after that first possession, Baker looked just as bad without OBJ in the game. So it really is one of those things to me where it's not a part of the game. I feel bad for OBJ. It sounds like from everything everybody's reporting and from players and how they're talking, sounds like he's going to be out for the year. It doesn't sound good. I just want to say,
yeah, and I don't know how you look at that as being anything positive for the Browns. It's just not.
No.
And by the way, I'm not saying,
I mean, they really did have to scheme completely differently and adjust on the fly. Think about what they did to adjust offensively to again, then turn around and put up the points they put up today.
Well, if this is true, going into next week, you're out now your top running back, you're out of top wide receiver, and you're off and you're out your top tight end. Most teams cannot survive this. The Browns, I will actually tell you right now, can't, because they are that much in-depth talent on offense where you have Hollywood Higgins who can come into play. Peoples Jones can come into play. Bryant, I mean, wow, what a player. He might be better than Hooper. I really like Bryant a lot. I really like Bryant a lot. Jarvis Landry is a wonderful star. We just went on and on about him. And you got Kareem Hunt. So because of your depth, Nick Chubb, OBJ, Hooper, on any other team, you would be sticking dynamite in the ground and be like, hopefully we draw sand. In this team, you're drawing oil. It's amazing. This team's depth. Now back to OBJ. I hope he's okay. Yeah. I know that, you know, just it looked bad. It felt bad. That was a crappy first pass by Mayfield. And you just hope he's okay. I know there's a lot of things like, oh, hey, maybe that's part of the reason why Baker played well. I don't believe that at all.
I don't. Well, listen, correlation does not equal causation. I don't think it's fair to say that. I understand where it's coming from, though. I will say that. I will say that I understand why people are saying it. Mm-hmm. But I will caveat that with I don't believe that it is the reason.
No.
Offensively, the Browns, they figured out how to make a click this afternoon. Defensively, we're agreeing it was rough. Do we give more credit though to Burrow for this, or okay, is it more on the Browns defense? I had a buddy on Twitter do this to me, and he basically said that, you know, Baker looked good because the Bengals' pass defense was so bad, and I responded with, wait a minute. Our pass defense is bad. Come on, brother. Like, easy now. Look, I don't know how to do this back and forth, tit for tat, whether it's worth it or not. But was it the Browns' defense is that poor, their pass defense that poor, or was it that Burrow's that good?
Burrow's that good.
I think he is, too.
I think Burrow is.
Because this is a guy who has thrown for, you know, 300, 400 yards multiple games now. And there's no rookie quarterbacks that ever done that. I got to look. But
Burrow's that good. And I actually want to go a step further. The fans came in it so much after the game, and we'll get the quotes for Thursday or Friday. He basically said, I had to make adjustments to my play calling to help out my quarterback. And I did. And there's some things I called early because he made some strange calls early.
He did, yes.
He said
he failed in that way because he failed his quarterback to set him up to have a good start. And he took that on himself.
And so I just want to point that out too. And going to this thing, the Bengals are a crappy defense. That only shows up when the other team, in this case, it's our quarterback, plays well. I know they're not good defensively. Fine. You know what, though? He actually, for everything I just said, he only had one incompletion after the 0-5, and it was because he stopped the clock. Mayfield was standing on his head hot. And those are a couple passes. That pass to Peoples Jones, it wasn't terrible coverage. He put the ball where no one else could get it.
Right.
He made the play.
And that was the accuracy that we have not seen out of Baker.
Oh my God! All year, even when he's
even early on, he overthrew a pass. It might have been his fifth incomplete pass.
I just want to say, okay, we got to point this out again. Kudos to Six. Mm-hmm. He got off the mat. He got knocked down. It looked like the TKO, KO was coming from the referee. You could feel it when it was 0-5 and him walking out the field. He looked pale as a ghost. It looked like it was game over, set match. That kid. Well,
Spiro was starting to make excuses for him.
I mean, look, it was over.
You have to wonder if it's the cracked rib.
Right. And by the way, for that kid to get up with hurt ribs and play the way he did, shame on people saying it's a bad defense.
Yeah.
This was on Baker Mayfield's arm. He's the reason why they won this game. Yes, the Bengals defense isn't as good. But you know what? In this case here, he took advantage of it and made plays. And even at times when the Bengals did play good defense, it didn't matter because Mayfield was that hot. I won't go any further than that because I don't think it needs to be done. And yes, Joe Burrow is nasty good. Nasty good. And again, here's the difference between this week and last week. 2 weeks in a row, who controlled the ball? The Bengals. Who controlled time possession? The Bengals. Bengals had controlled this game. But unlike last week, with no running game again, no running game really, the Browns did it with Mayfield's arm. And yes, Hunt had enough good runs to get him cleared. Right. Landry had some tough runs to get first downs, and those were big plays. But it wasn't the same running game we've been used to in these other four wins.
Right.
This win is on Mayfield.
Absolutely.
He won this game, and he deservedly so. And caveat, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward.
I mean, Baker put the cherry on the top. That touchdown to win the game, I couldn't believe it, Andy. Andy, it's been so long. It's been so long.
Yes.
I don't even think I was a teenager the last time the Browns were this good.
I'm so happy for Mayfield. And I want to bring up the EJ note here on Facebook. A coach admitting he's wrong, fired, which is a funny note. Going to Stefanski. Stefanski totally gets it. And this is where I'm excited as a Browns fan. And this is where I get dreamy stupid. I think the Browns can play better. I think the Browns have much better games than them. I don't think we've seen the best of the Browns yet. And we certainly haven't seen the healthiest Browns. And maybe we won't this year. But that gives me hope. What it means is this team can scrap when the cards are down. If you would have told me Nick Chubb gets hurt in the middle of the Cowboys game, and even during that run, they win that game, they win the Colts game, and they win the Bengals game, I would be like, bullshit. No way. And they have. They've gone 3-1 with his injury. That says a lot about your coach. He is a wonderful, wonderful coach. And yes, EJ, get out those, get out those, what's the word I'm looking for?
Abacus. Get out your calculator. Analytics are paying off.
Your Texas instruments are there. Pocket protectors out. And that goes to DePodesta, and that goes to Andrew Berry too. Because the roster has been built to win. And if they can survive this, get a Hooper back, get Chubb back after the byes. I don't think either one of them, well, I know they're not playing before the bye. And then you can somehow squeeze some more juice out of this. It's going to be so exciting. Here's my own little hints. This will be more for later in the week. The Browns can't get dinged up too much more on offense. You can't take too much.
You're absolutely right. We're at the enough is enough. Can we say uncle? There's enough.
Mercy.
Uncle.
Yeah, I was going to say mercy. Elevator full. You can't take too many more dings and dunks. You just can't. But all that to be said, they have. Jared, it's wonderful to watch. Mm. It's exciting to watch.
I didn't have them at 5-2, Andy. You know that. I had them at 3-5 after 8, possibly 4-4, but 3-5. Well, and that was due to game. I didn't expect them to beat the Colts.
They did.
I knew that there was a possibility that they could lose one of these games to Cincinnati. I know that playing Las Vegas isn't going to be an easy task.
Vegas is good, but they lost.
Now, the bummer is, Andy, I got to come back to this. The bummer is we still have to acknowledge the AFC North is a beast of a division. And those asshole rat birds and those pencil tuckins are just still making life difficult, even with the Browns at 5-2. And those, they're the ones who are giving us fits. And we can't have that. We can't have that. If you're gonna truly be back in the North, you've got to compete. Got to compete.
They swept the kitty cats.
Both teams.
They swept the kitty cats. We swept the kitty cats. And you know what? Before we get to Jimmy's comment.
Yeah.
They swept the kitty cats. And you know what? You get about a whole five games to figure out the Ravens and Steelers. And that's what the Browns win. But if they were to play the Ravens and Steelers in a game or two, I'd be like, ooh. They get a break. They're done with the AFC North now for a while. By the way, for whatever fucking reason, the Bengals have been a bugaboo. That team is tough. I don't want to play. Goodbye. Get out. Hey, give the same trouble to the Steelers and to the Ravens. Get out of here. Get out. I mean, that's what I said today. I'm like, oh, get this team out. Burrow, my gosh, today. I mean, I know this is a Browns show. We love the Browns. Burrow's going to be unbelievable. My God, is that kid good.
Woo! I think so.
Jimmy, can I pronounce your last name? So Jimmy K.
Jimmy Kavoris on Facebook.
Jimmy Kavoris on Facebook. Callahan was a huge pickup also as coach. You're right. Wonderful, 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 wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of Joe Woods yet, though. Jury's still out.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to tell because really what he's working with.
No, I know. And I'm going to say one more thing.
They're running thin. You knew at the beginning of the season that they were going to be thin at linebacker. And you were just hoping that some of the young talent was going to work out in the secondary, and they've had to deal with the injury. So, I mean, because let's be real here. Defensive line was great. I mean, overall. Burrow was getting rid of the ball because he had to, because he was getting pressure just with that front four. So, yeah.
Here's one more thing.
All you can ask for.
Here's one more thing about this team that I want to stress.
Yeah.
There are some things here and there. I don't think the Browns have played their complete game yet. And that gets me excited. And they're going to get players back. Chubb's coming back.
Yeah.
Hooper's coming back. These guys are coming back at some point. Mac Wilson is not up to full speed yet. So there's things coming. Wyatt Taylor's still out. There's help coming. There's help coming. And this team's going to get, I think, better as the year goes on. I just get this feeling. And yes, if Mayfield plays like this, and by the way, whatever the fuck turned on his light bulb, which Stefanski credited himself saying, I had to throw away some of the things I was trying to do and let him play. If that's the light switch here, holy shit. The other thing too, Hollywood Higgins should not be on a practice squad anymore. He has got to play from here on out. And more Harrison Bryant. The more I watch Harrison Bryant play, the more I love him. I feel bad for Hooper, but Harrison Bryant can play.
Just a reminder, the rest of the schedule coming up, we've got the Raiders, and then the Browns are going to get their bye week, a much-needed rest that team Texans. Is absolutely going to need. The Texans are probably going to be a weird – I mean, it's at home, so
– It's not the same Texans.
Right.
And then you get the Eagles after that.
Eagles, yeah. Eagles, Jags, Titans, Ravens, Giants, Jets. I mean, Andy, you're talking, I got to play this game again. I'm going to play this game again. 1, 2, 3.
10-6 seems
four. Great. Four of those it should be an easy 9-7. An easy 9-7.
Cakewalk 9-7. 10-6, what I want to hit, 11-5. 12-4. 13-3?
You called 12. 13-3 would mean that they've got to beat either the Ravens or the Steelers at some point.
Oh, take out the garbage. I will say this again. If this is the magic elixir, if Stefanski realizing something on the sideline, Hollywood Higgins going back in the field, this is what we needed. And I want to bring up one more time again, I don't think this team's played their best football. I really don't, Jared. Yeah. I watch this team. You just don't get the feeling they played their best football yet.
No, not yet.
It's hard to not get excited. It's great to see the Raiders lose because they're in that race for the Raiders and the Colts. The Patriots lost again.
Oh, poor yeah, Patriots. Cam got pulled.
Patriots.
Although Cam got pulled when the game was already.
Yeah, he didn't get pulled.
Don't read.
Well, I mean, it's so I just feel too bad for the Pats, right? Anyway, good for the Niners. That was a good
one. Andy lives too close to that area. He's just he has to deal with those fans all the time. I on the other hand, am married to one, but she has not watched anything this year.
I currently have a new person in my life who's also a Pats fan, and she went to bed, so it's okay. I can laugh. It's crazy. Anyways, I'm on. Whee! Oh, they're strong.
I mean, what do we say all the time? Fuck them. Fuck them.
Bye. Take care. So Belichick and his, Zoom call and his face is all pixelated. Oh, man. Bye. Too bad. Anyways, too bad.
Once again, huge win for the Browns today. Huge win. Great finish. Baker, boy.
Huge. Posterizing.
Boy.
This is something, if you had a ticket to the game, you put it in a bag, you put it on your wall. Like
ESPN instant classic. It was that level of fun today.
Oh, great. And again, I'm happy for Mayfield. That kid. Okay, last thought. Then we can go on to college football.
Yeah.
That kid could have checked out. Could have wanted out, could have said, my ribs hurt. I just need to get out of the game. Where's my mom? I just want to go home. And he didn't.
Ain't that the difference? The difference between this team? This team in the past would have given up after the first quarter.
Oh, God. We have been coming out for an anthem, getting tripped over a flag to having all sorts of like mystery shit. It's just one of those things where, again, we've seen it all in this town. We've seen it all in this town. I just want to say again, that was one of my, and this year where I love the Colts win, love the Dallas win. This is the best one yet. Jared, it's getting better and better and better. And I don't know what the fuck happened in that 2 weeks ago. And I don't know what the fuck happened week one, but these other five have been wonderful. Just wonderful. And so with that, we must now turn attention to Saturday because the Big Ten did start and the Buckeyes rolled. I want to give now attention in the microphone to my partner, who's a big Buckeye fan. Were you concerned at times Nebraska pushed around the Bucks a little bit, if I'm being fair, in the first half, pushed them around, but I'm going to allude to this. Justin Fields, if he plays like that all year, Heisman, beware.
And I said it at the end of the game. Now, I didn't expect, again, just like this Browns game started, that Ohio State game started, and it had me. It lingered. Nebraska hung around. They were playing tough. At one point, were they up 14-7, and then they were up, and then it was 14-14.
It was a little bad.
And it was taking a while. They weren't offensively. You know, Ohio State wasn't running down the field like you were hoping. It was just, I think Master Teague will probably improve as the year goes on. I thought I'd see a little bit more out of him, to be honest. But when you talk about Justin Fields and the way that that offense started to get rolling, and Justin Fields throwing downfield, accurate as all hell. Olave blew another touchdown, a chance at one point on another beautiful play. But outside of that, I'm not worried about Olave. Garrett, an amazing Wilson. Season. Garrett Wilson had a hell of a day. Yeah, Garrett Wilson.
Absolute star. Absolutely.
So there's no. So the Ohio State, they kicked it in. They put it in the other gear, and they did what they do best, and they ran away with the game as expected. Now
they
seven more to go. Boy, Justin Fields though, it really comes back to him.
Heisman
is absolutely in the running for Heisman.
Heisman worthy already.
Hands down, absolutely.
Well, that's
20 of 21. 276, 20 of 21, which I believe was that Olave drop in the end zone. That was the one drop. Are you shitting me?
Fields is really.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson, playing. seven catches, 129 yards.
I mean, Garrett, okay, let's go down a couple of rabbit holes.
Yeah, again, though, like we said,
the running game would concern me. It's early, but it would concern me. But there's no late this year. It's only 8 games. So it concerns me if I'm a Buckeyes fan. Justin Fields is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful player. I'm going to take a personalized moment to answer EJ's question. I am not an Ohio State fan, EJ. Even though I was born in Cleveland, I grew up in Columbus. My dad is a huge Purdue fan. I am a huge Notre Dame fan. My mom's side of the family all went to Notre Dame, which I will get to them in a second and trumpet them for a little bit. I am not an Ohio State fan. But I am not naive. I'm very fair and honest and opinionated. And Ohio State's very, very good. They're Clemson, Alabama good. Now, here's some things I would also say. I'm worried about the defense. Not concerned. Don't think there's not improvement to be made. There is. But I'd be concerned.
There's a lot of change, a lot of turnover. We talked about it prior to this game. We knew that. But
You saw it. The other thing that would concern me, too, if I'm a Buckeye fan, is this. This running game, the offensive line looked clunky. It could be the first game out, so you kind of wait and hold. I will say, though, Master Teague and Sermon have a long ways to go.
It really did surprise me. Because I genuinely, after watching Master Teague come in and maintain, maintain on the rushing side of things what J.K. Dobbins would leave him, it wasn't just table scraps. Master Teague got his scores when he got his touches in usually in the second half of those games last season. Right. Yeah. I have a lot of confidence in Master Teague. He looks like he's put on weight. He looks like he's in shape looking. I mean, so I think they'll get that figured out. I hope so. At least Jim on Facebook. The offense has depth. Freshman running back is going to be special. Bring on those Nittany Lions. I hope so.
Well,
and I'll tell you this right now. After that Indiana game,
okay, let's go there.
Penn State.
James Franklin has had multiple. I like to call them brain farts, and he had another brain fart on this team. And this team has got to start figuring out time, place, and score. Dick Vitale pounds us, and this is one of the things I do love about Dick. Time, place, and score. It goes in all sports, by the way. And this one, time, place, and score. You get the first down, get the fuck down. Bryant Westbrook, wonderful player for the Eagles, did this years ago. He had a score away touchdown. The Cowboys stopped playing because they wanted him to score. He slid to run out the clock. On that play there, if you're in the Lions, the play is slide to run out the clock. It was a wonderful game. I see Jim here on Facebook, Indiana, really? Here's where I'm going to go with on this. And I'm ready for this. Indiana's not that bad, actually. Indiana's actually pretty – I mean, they're good. They're not great, but they're good. And they're scrappy. And Penn State right now – in fairness to Penn State, their best player, Brown, is gone for the year for a medical condition. They're missing their best wide receiver. They have some very big pound – Penn State's actually missing some parts here. So to say this is a full Penn State team coming week one is not fair.
But that's where Franklin can't make – that's where he can't do it. You can't. You've got to come in focused, right? I mean, that's why Stefanski – we'll jump back over to the Browns real quick. That's why Stefanski gets the best out of these players because they are aware. They are spatially aware, except for running interception out of the end zone. I'll say that probably wasn't the right thing to do there.
But that was not very bright. And again, okay.
But nonetheless, you get what I'm saying. You get that's where the coaching has to come into play is when you aren't playing with a full deck. And I don't mean mentally. I'm talking about your team on the field. Don't have them all out there, when it's not your guys that you want, which of course in the game of football, you always have to adjust.
Look, here's the big thing. And Jim hit this on Facebook again. Franklin is to blame for that loss he says on Facebook. Here's where I'll go. I don't know if he's full blame, but I will say this, Jim. Franklin's had some moments where it's like, wow, that was weird. I remember there was an Ohio State game 2 years ago. I was like, wow, that was weird. Yeah. That was actually on the road for the Bucks. They're in Happy Valley. I was like, oh, that was a weird moment or two. He's had some, wow, that was weird. So he is a very weird coach. I think he is a good coach, but I do know to Jim's point, it's like he's had some like that felt weird. Like he's definitely had some.
I call those Hugh moments. They are Hugh-like moments.
Yeah, like just weird. Very, 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 very weird.
What was that?
Very strange. Back to the Bucks. I know they're playing Nittany Lions. We'll get into this more on Friday or Thursday, depending on schedules. The one thing I'll just say about the Bucks is this: if they can gradually improve, which I believe they will on their day. From next game to game, I think this team will be fine because of how good Justin Fields is. Justin Fields was a very good player this year. He's becoming a great to elite player. That looks like Joe Burrow. Justin Fields looks like Joe Burrow on Saturday. They're going to be tough, 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 tough to beat. Very, very tough. And I got to be honest with you, the way this is going for the Bucs, and from what I saw early on from the Big Ten, which was very good play, it is a collision course. What a surprise. In game 8 between Michigan and Ohio State. I mean, it feels that way already. Like, do I think Penn State has no shot? I won't say no shot, but I don't think Penn State's going to beat Ohio State. I don't think I just don't see any of those teams giving much of a trouble until Michigan. Michigan was interesting. I'm going to give a quick opinion on that. And Matt and EJ, I see your comments. We'll get to that in a second.
We'll save that for the end.
I was wrong.
Okay, you say that. You say be aware
I was wrong about Michigan, about one thing. That defense, if they play like that, and that's not a bad Gopher team. It's a good Gopher team.
Yeah, I did expect more out of the Gophers. I did.
That was a shit show. That was a bad loss for Fleck. Bad. Bad, 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 bad. Minnesota did not play well. Did not play well.
No, listen, I would say give it time. I would say give it time. Let the yellow and blue team. They've got. I'm sorry. You can talk about how they looked all day long, but they've got to prove it. That's a team that is in the boat. They've got to prove it. And until they do, I'm not going to. I just can't. It is not. I can't.
All
they
fair,
do not.
Jared, Jared, that you know,
it's gold. We've been told every year to watch out.
Jared, oh, I saw this team play better.
On.
I saw this. It is a road game to start the year at night at Minnesota. It's okay. Not your average throwaway win. Okay.
No, I'll give you that.
Jim Harbaugh's not wearing khaki pants. Maybe it's time for Michigan. Maybe. I'm just saying. I was impressed. I must say I was impressed. I hate Michigan.
All right, I'm being a homer, but I just.
I know, I hear you.
Nope.
You know what I love? That people don't like how I say Michigan. Michigan, 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 Michigan. that's because I love you, EJ. That's because I love you. Okay, finally to my Irish, and then quickly into Boilermakers.
Oh, thank God. Let's talk about the Irish.
No. We came into Pittsburgh. We took and we conquered.
All right.
5-3. Now look.
You beat Pitt. Look at my focus on the camera on screen right now. It's about as focused as I am on this discussion.
I love Jared. I don't need him right now. Look at me here.
Hazy at best.
Look at me, Irish fans. We play the Ramblin' Wreck. They're fucking terrible. And then in 2 weeks, Clemson comes to South Bend. Clemson couldn't even, they barely beat Syracuse. Look. I don't think we're going to beat Clemson, but I am going to overhype that game as maybe a game Notre Dame can win, because that's the first time this weekend. I am booked. If he plays like that, Irish has a chance. They have a shot. It's not impossible.
Okay.
And I will say that defense played so much better. It took five games, but finally Book and the Irish looked good. And they ran the ball 50 times, given only passing 31. Much better performance. Pitt is not good, so I'm not going to overhype the win. Right. Georgia Tech is nothing. Georgia Tech lost 73-7. Clemson. So they're nothing. But I will say, for the first time, for Irish fans who listen, I feel hopeful they're not going to beat Clemson. I feel hopeful against Clemson. Hopeful. Meaning I don't think we're going to win at all, but I now don't think it's going to be a blowout. Okay. Like, let's say lightning strikes South Bend, which it can. Ask the Hurricanes in 88. Ask the Florida State Seminoles.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I would love nothing but.
Oh.
I'm not one that – look, I'm not one of those folks that turns my nose up to Notre Dame. I'm not.
They're very, very talented.
But, pulling one out against Clemson.
That would send shockwaves. Again, I'm not naive. And by the way, what a great time for the Browns on an off week. We can talk Clemson, Notre Dame all day, which I would love to do. But also Notre Dame, another team that really does not have an established running back, which is a bit of a problem. They're five games in now. I really could not tell you who's their strong bow cow running back is. They really don't have one, to be honest. But all to be said, Book played so much better. Defense did a great job. That was a staple win. They struggle against Pitt. They never do well. And for them to blow them out was wonderful to see. Loved it. And finally, my Boilers came back and beat the Hawkeyes. No one had that coming. Rondo Moore didn't play. David Bell is wonderful. Great win for Purdue. That was a shameful loss for Iowa. Shameful. No Brom. No Rondell Moore, and you still lose. Bad, 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 bad. Great for Purdue, though. Great for Purdue. Loved it. Good having Big Ten football back. Am I right?
Very,
very, very good.
This
felt like a college football.
Even went to my dad's to watch the game. My dad doesn't always put the games on anymore. He's turned into an old man who likes to do other things other than watch football. Don't ask me why. But he put the game on, and we went over. We got there, And it felt right. So as long as everyone's healthy and as long as everyone's safe, I'm happy. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep everyone okay. Now, I think that there was a marquee name out of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's star quarterback testing positive.
I literally just glanced at it before we started the episode.
If that's true, that is huge. Yeah. He's our freshman. I mean, I did not watch a second of Illinois-Wisconsin, but I read the headlines and I saw what I saw. That kid, if they finally have a passer in Madison, I mean, Wisconsin's dangerous. But for him to have COVID-19 possible.
Well, you've got to, and I know, you know, we talk about this, you know, these, some guys are getting it, right? Some guys are getting sick, and we've got, is it Armstead who's got it and hasn't been able to get over it? in the NFL, Raquel,
I forget now.
Armstead, or is it? I'm gonna have to double check, but I think that's who it is. My point is, there's a guy in the league who has had to go to the hospital twice and is not playing the rest of the season.
I think it's a player for Jacksonville.
It is. It's Armstead.
It's Jacksonville. No, you're right.
And so, you know, as much as you can be happy that everyone, you know, that most of those guys are safe and not getting sick and doing the right thing and all that stuff, that doesn't mean everyone, you know, it has gotten it. And this is a guy who's not going to play the rest of the season, who is an in shape NFL football player. Who's had to go to the hospital twice dealing with this. So,
and not doing well. And from what they're reporting, I mean, look, it sounds like he is on his way to recovery, maybe.
Right.
It did not sound good. Yeah.
Right. So you got to keep this in mind. That's all. I'm not saying overly think about it. I'm just saying keep it in mind. Acknowledge it. You don't know. Yeah. Hey, World Series ending. Holy shit. Game four. That was incredible. God.
Incredible. In fact, I'm itching to get back and watch it. Game four was, I had it in the background the whole time. Definitely fell asleep in the eighth inning, but woke up for the ninth.
Yeah.
Don't know how. It's one of those moments you're like, okay, I'm up. I guess I better watch. Like, I missed the Rays batting. Yeah. I missed the Dodgers batting. So bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth. And I came back for the ninth. The bottom of the ninth. Oh my God. And by the way,
I had to watch the replay of that final play of the game because I had to watch it from different angles.
It's amazing.
Because there are like four different shots that show different things that make, like, it's just incredible how that all went down.
Watch it. It is Kirk Gibson, Mookie hitting the ball off to Buckner. It is, you know, we'll see it tomorrow night, Twins and Braves. It is that kind of magic. Honestly, it's Rajay Davis type stuff. Like, it was that kind of like zippy. You could feel the series turn. Look, that was an unbelievable moment.
Yeah.
I try not to get to like social media run. I was on every platform going, is anybody watching this? And then it's like, you know, oh my God, I can't fucking believe it. Oh my, like, it just, and on top of it, in that inning, I thought on two different at-bats with two outs, I go, ooh, is that strike three? On Phillips, the pitch before is like, oh, man, I thought that was strike three. And it's like, okay, he gets another pitch, and that's when the game-winning hit happened. And then earlier in that inning, I'm like, ooh, I never heard another guy. I'm like, man, that looked like strike three, end up walking. So it's one of those grinded, gritty ninth innings. Give the Rays credit.
Yeah.
Phillips in the ninth, down a run. Hits the ball, misplayed by a center fielder. Have no fucking clue what the catcher was doing. I know people are saying he's trying to watch the runner. That is an I just can't get over that catcher. I can't, Jared. We watch a lot of baseball. I've never seen a pitcher do a whirly bird, ball come flying out of his glove as the runner's picked off, and then that allows the runner to score the winning run. I mean, unfucking believable.
As the runner and the runner fell and rolled.
Yes.
Excuse me. All of a sudden.
Dead to right.
Like, I got a.
He's got an emotional moment.
That's not a COVID cough, I hope.
No. But it was one of the, for people who have not checked it out, and people going, is this worth the hype? It's worth every nickel and dime. Watch the replays.
Yeah.
Worth every nickel and dime of your time. Jared, last night was a wonderful World Series game. Reminds me of like taking ourselves out of the Indians and Cubs. Remind me of Rangers Cardinals when that great World Series where like every game was like back and forth and oh my God, every just last out, last strike, and everything was just dramatic and everything being filled. That game last night, you just knew it's like if whoever got the last at bat and the Rays happened to have the last at bat. It was an amazing two-out hits by the Dodgers. Every time they score, two outs, two outs, two outs. Corey Seager is playing out of his mind. I want to say that again. Corey Seager is playing out of his mind. Lindor's not going to L.A. No, 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 no.
No.
And by the way, if they does,
in this town in New York.
Corey, oh, yeah, well. Mets or Yankees. Either one's open for business, I'm sure. But anyways, it was I know Dodgers Rays is not sexy during a pandemic. That was a Jared, it was one of the best baseball games I've seen in a while. Really, really, really good. Dramatic. God, was that good last night. Woo! That's as dramatic as that Purdue win over Iowa. Right there. Right there.
Follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Cleveland and Beyond. On Twitter, at CLE and Beyond. Shoot us an email, Andy and Jared, J-A-R-I-D, at gmail.com. We are part of Waiting for Next Year. Check them out. Original Cleveland Sports Reporting. WaitingForNextYear.com. And also soon to be a part of, officially a part of, Evergreen Podcasts.
Evergreen!
Andy, final thoughts on the day.
I'm very happy for Baker Mayfield. I cannot say this enough. Enough of these guys we've seen come through this town when it checked out. It says a lot about him. He at times is not the most lovable, but my God, is that kid showed a lot today in a time where you can absolutely checked out. Hollywood was discovered back in Cleveland again today. He was found in Cincinnati. We're bringing him back. And again, Myles Garrett's march to defensive MVP continues. And don't hate on Denzel Ward. We will get into the bromance that is Jared and I later. It's too late. It's too X-rated. We will do that at a different time.
You sure? I think we can put these up here. Can't we do it? Let's do it. There. Matt Brosius on Facebook. Off topic. What a beautiful moment for the both of you when you finally met in person.
Yes.
EJ Scalota on Facebook. Matt Brosius, I was going to comment something too, but wasn't sure if they discussed it during the opening segment. No, we talked about it actually in the last episode. EJ. Browns Bengals preview episode.
Go listen. Talk about it. Go listen to your best podcasting device, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and hit play.
Or wait a minute. Did we talk about it after the Steelers game, after that episode?
You know what? You'll have to listen to them all.
Yeah, listen to them all.
You know what? Too bad. We love you. But I'm very too tired to relive that moment. I love Jared a lot.
It's time to shut down.
We're too tired. But congratulations to Baker Mayfield and the Browns and Stefanski and all that whole crew. What a wonderful game. And again, I do think they'll get better here, Jared. They're going to get healthier. I think they're going to get players back. And I think they're on their way. Do something special. That felt like that win tonight. Closest thing was the Hoyer win in Atlanta, and that felt like a fluke. This feels real.
He's Andy Billman. I'm Jared Watson. Thanks for tuning in. Baker's back, motherfuckers. Have a good night. Take care. Talk again soon.
Cleveland and Beyond with Andy and Jared is a part of Evergreen Podcast. You can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/Cleveland and Beyond, on Twitter at CLE and Beyond, or shoot them an email at andyandjared@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit the website, clevelandandbeyond.net.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at whiskeybusinesspod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.